of your feet shall tread.
That which is highly esteemed among men is abomination with God. That's the truth of the gospel. That'll kill a whole bunch of that foolishness. Thanks for the hand clap way in the back. I appreciate every one of them because, see, truth ain't always popular. People, you know, because you're hitting stuff in the spirit that will cause people to assemble if they'll let it go. See, God's raising up a faceless generation, a nameless generation. You ain't got to know my name. Yeah, you got healed. You got delivered. You got your sight, but don't tell anybody who did it. Yeah, your leg grew out. Yeah, that amputation came back. Don't tell them I did it. A nameless, faceless generation. You know, when Elisha died, his grave was open. And the Moabites were coming into the nation. They were about to drop a dead body. They were getting ready to bury someone. And they saw the Moabites, a band of them, spying and coming towards them. So they panicked and just threw the body over into a grave. It was Elisha's grave. Remember, Elisha had a servant named Gehazi. And Gehazi got leprosy because he went after Naaman to get reward. And Elisha said, the leprosy that was on Naaman be on you and your children. And so he didn't have inheritance. He wasn't able to transfer that mantle to him. So there was an anointing still on his bones. But God said it ain't going to be the Gehazis that want all the name, want all the stuff. He got all that stuff and went and hid it and came and stood before Elijah. Elijah like, wasn't nothing happening. See, we had enough of that foolishness. People hoarding up stuff. Greedy folk just want money, just want position, want the finest of everything. Like that means something in eternity. Hello, it don't mean a thing in eternity. You can't take nothing with you when you leave here. Not a thing. Amen. Feel my passion. You can't take anything with you. Gehazi got all that, but got leprosy. Then Elijah died with something on his bones. They saw the Moabites coming. They panicked, just threw the body over in Elisha's grave. And the body touched his bones. And there came a transference. This is just me. It ain't written there, but when you get to heaven, Elisha will tell you that I was right. There was a transference. Because see, you don't know that guy's name. Now, I'm going to search the book of Jubilees. I'm going to search some of those other books. They may say names of who that might have been. But as it stands right there, you don't know his name. It doesn't tell you anything that he might have done or how great a work he might have done. He was nameless and faceless. But we do know this. What got on him came from Elisha. And see, Elisha had gotten a double portion from Elijah. And Gehazi didn't receive it. Somebody had to get it. So it's a generation that will be nameless. You might know their name, but they don't care whether you know their name or not. They don't need their name up in lights. They don't need to be on all the television programs. All they want to do is do what God wants them to do in this life and expand and establish his kingdom. Hello? Now, if you got trouble with that, do some soul searching and get yourself sorted out. Because it's our nature. It's human nature to boast of yourself. Sometimes I just listen to conversation. People just they talk about what they and how their church. It kind of ticks me because that's human nature. But it takes something for God to do a work where deep is calling on the deep and you lose sight of yourself. And it's all about his kingdom now. He becomes the central point of your life. And everything you do and are evolves around him and not him. You trying to bring him into your mess. That's what we tend to do. Cause a mess and then want to get God in it. Time out. Somebody say, time out, time out, time out. We need to shed ourselves of these things and let God be central. Let him be the rallying point, the object of our affection, and then let him assemble us. There's where your blessing lies. Now, I'm talking about the blessing that maketh rich and adds no sorrow. Fountains of the deep were broken up, the windows of heaven were opened, and we call that the former and latter rain that Hosea spoke about. Give me Hosea 6, chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. The former and latter rain. Do you know there's coming a time, I believe it was in Hosea, one of the minor, we call them minor prophets because their books were smaller than the other prophets. But there, someone said that there's coming a time where the plowman is going to overtake the reaper. What does that mean? You know, a farmer, someone that farms could tell you better than I can, but there are seasons where farmers sow the seed. Then there, you know, rain has to come, the seed has to grow up, and then there comes a time to reap the harvest. But what the prophet is saying, the plowman should overtake the reaper, is that there's not going to be any seasons anymore. In other words, between the time of sowing and reaping is going to be just one time. It won't be a time or space of waiting and growing and then harvesting. No, he said the plowman is going to overtake the reaper. Or he's going to be plowing while you're reaping. While you're reaping, it's already been coming up. You're going to have to go back and reap some more, reap some more, reap some more. In other words, there won't be summer, winter, cold and hot. It won't be spring, summer, autumn and winter. It's going to be just one season. And we call it due season. Tell somebody my due season is here. Come on, if you can believe. See, you got to believe. Come on, see, you got to hear and believe. Lord, I don't understand it all. My life is not in line with that yet, but Lord, I receive it. I believe that my due season. Somebody say my due season. Much of our captivity, much of our imprisonment is due to our mindset. How we think. You are a prisoner of your thoughts. And you need somebody to come in there and beat all them thoughts up and kick them out of your head. And start thinking like Jesus would have you think. Believe in what the word says. Doesn't the Bible say, I can do all things through Christ who will strengthen me. Unto him that is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that I ask or think. Come on, do you believe the word? Thanks be unto God that always causes me to triumph. Tell somebody, I always triumph. You might got beat up last week and lost the fight, but your testimony's got to be, I always triumph. Because in the long run, God's going to take that beat down and work it around for your good. And he'll make your enemy become your footstool. Amen. I said, God will do that. You can't just think short term. You got to see like Isaiah saw. They called him the eagle-eyed prophet. He could see afar off. See, where there is no vision, people cast off restraint. When you got a vision, it'll constrain you to conduct your life a certain way. You'll eat certain things. You'll talk certain conversations because you got a vision. And if you believe that what God said is going to come to pass, it will constrain you. For where there is no vision, people cast off restraint. But he that keeps the law, happy is he when you keep instruction. So you got to see afar off. Now, it's interesting. God aligned. Do we have Hosea 6? Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he has torn and he will heal us. He has smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. Get me verse 2 again. After 2 days will he revive us. One day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. From the time of Jesus' birth, when A.D. started, after his death, burial, and resurrection, if you go from there to the year 2000, it was 2,000 years. It says, after 2 days or 2,000 years, he will revive us. In the third day, he will raise us up. How many of we have come into the third day, the day of resurrection, where he is raising up, the sons of God are being raised up. 2 days have passed and we have come into the third day. The third 1,000 years from 2000, when they said it was Y2K, and everybody was storing up food and talking about the computer crash and everything, and ain't nothing happened. That initiated the third day, the day of resurrection, the day he said he will raise us up. Amen? Now, God is aligning, or when he was speaking to Noah, he was synchronizing, he was aligning the activities in Noah's life. Listen to me closely. He was synchronizing, aligning the activities in Noah's life with what he was doing in Noah's spirit. Get this now. It had never rained. And Lord told Noah, prepare an ark. I'm going to cause it to rain. Lord, first of all, Lord, what is rain? And I'm over 500 now. And you never seen no rain. Whatever it is. But God was synchronizing what was going on in his life with what was going on in his spirit. In other words, it was a walk of faith. Hear me. Noah had to believe God. Let's take a look at it. Hebrews 11 and verse number 6. Thank you for listening. To order today's message or for more information about our church, contact us at 772-465-0036 or toll free at 1-877-TR-BANKS. Our service times are Sundays, 8:30 a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m. Join us in our midweek service, Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. All services are live streamed.
Sin of all humanity was his alone to bear. The infamy of every age, a blanket of despair. Yet even in his suffering, he obeyed the Father's will. And for me, he kept on climbing up a lonely hill. High above the multitude, he hung in such disgrace, a sight from which a holy God had to turn his face. They ridiculed and they mocked him, yet he loved them still. And there his heart was broken on a lonely hill. Abandoned by God, forsaken by man.